Next time you're going for a walk through the countryside and trip over a big tuft of grass, be aware that it's probably home to thousands of insects and as such plays an important role in the area's ecosystem. Biologist Paul Lunt and research entomologist Phil Smith from Staffordshire University have made it their job to understand more about these seldom studied habitats.
Grass tussock areas, they're areas that are not managed very well or not managed at all, and they tend to be the areas that we perceive as being wasteland, the very areas that people decide to build on. So what I'm looking at is how often we can actually cut these grass tussocks without adversely affecting the beetle community in these grass tussocks. Not that the beetle community is the only thing in there. The beetle community is probably one of the smaller communities contained in them. And in each one of these grass tussocks, there can be in the region of between 2,500 and maybe 10,000 insects in just a small 8-inch diameter grass tussock.
So from the research you've done, what have you found that actually is in these tussocks and how are they used?
Strangely, we did expect, because we were looking at beetles, to find a large predator community in there, but it appears that the predator community doesn't live in the grass tussocks, although they may live in the surrounding area, but use the grass tussocks purely for feeding. The main driver behind the system seems to be the decomposer community, especially with the beetles. There's a lot of decomposer beetles in there, the things that basically take the decomposing grass, chop them up into smaller pieces, and there's things that feed on their sort of droppings and all stuff like that, and we've got fungus feeders in there, which surprised us because we really did expect to find a good predator community in there.
So where are the predators gone then?
We think they're just basically doing as predators do, like your lions and tigers roaming around the countryside looking for places to eat. We think they're just using the tussocks probably when they're hungry just to go in there to feed. There are predators in there, but it's not a massive predator community.
And how do you study a tussock?
Basically, we remove it. We remove it and we use a machine to actually extract all the insects from it, and it uses heat because insects do not like to dry out, so they move away into a collecting vessel where we can then identify them to species level.
And once you've pulled them all out of the tussock and you've looked at them, what happens to them after that?
Well, at this point they're already dead. The biggest problem with any sort of invertebrate is if you need to identify it to species level to find out exactly what it is, because like anything, if you don't know exactly what it is, you don't know what to do to conserve it. But they wriggle around under the microscope, so they do need to be dead at that point.
Now, you said that one of the things you were doing was cutting the grass and things like that to find out what the difference it made. So what difference does it make?
Well, it seems throughout most of the year it doesn't make a lot of difference to the community whether you cut the grass two or three times once or don't cut the grass at all. But it's when we have climatic extremes, either really, really hot sunshine or really, really bad frosts, that these tussocks come into their own, because the temperature in those tussocks is regulated. It's more like being in a house. A house doesn't cool down and warm up like the outside does. It's almost like a home for them. And what we're finding is that in the wintertime and these climatic extremes, we've got far more in the line of beetles that actually use these grass tussocks than at any other time of the year.
And so where do you think they are the rest of the time of the year then?
I think they don't need the protection at the rest of the year apart from predators. They may, in fact, just hold up in these tussocks at night, which is something we've not investigated to this point. But they're probably just roaming around the rest of the grassland, just going about the business.
Now, Paul, from a botanist's point of view, how important are these tussocks of grass in this kind of wasteland?
Well, I suppose in terms of the actual plant diversity, it's actually quite low. And the species that we're talking about, coxfoot, arran afram, false oak grass, they're very common species that you would find anywhere in the UK or indeed anywhere in Northern Europe. So the actual plant species diversity is quite low. It is purely a structured habitat for the invertebrates.
And again, from the botanist's point of view, how important are these little invertebrates to actually maintaining these species, even if, as you say, they're not that important in themselves?
Well, it's the whole system, really. If you're talking about decomposition, if we didn't have a decomposer system, then the leaf litter wouldn't get broken down, and therefore there wouldn't be nutrients available to the plant. So it's the recycling, basically. They're the recyclers of the whole system, so they're very important.
That's biologist Paul Lunt and research entomologist Phil Smith from Staffordshire University.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.